Count Olaf's eyes grew very shiny, but he continued to smirk at Klaus. This was surprising. Klaus had guessed that once he announced what he knew, this dreadful man would have been very angry, even violent. After all, he'd had a furious outburst just because he'd wanted roast beef instead of puttanesca sauce. Surely he'd be even more enraged to have his plan discovered. But Count Olaf just sat there, as calmly as if they were discussing the weather.
"I guess you found me out," Olaf said simply. "I suppose you're right. I'll go to prison, and you and the other orphans will go free. Now, why don't you run up to your room and wake your sisters? I'm sure they'll want to know all about your grand victory over my evil ways."
Klaus looked closely at Count Olaf, who was continuing to smile, as if he had just told a clever joke. Why wasn't he threatening Klaus in anger, or tearing his hair out in frustration, or running to pack his clothes and escape? This wasn't happening at all the way Klaus had pictured it.
"Well, I will go tell my sisters," he said, and walked back into his bedroom.
Violet was still dozing on the bed, and Sunny was still hidden beneath the curtains. Klaus woke Violet up first.
"I stayed up all night reading," Klaus said breathlessly, as his sister opened her eyes, "and I discovered what Count Olaf is up to. He plans to marry you for real, when you and Justice Strauss and everyone all think it's just a play, and once he's your husband he'll have control of our parents' money, and he can dispose of us."
"How can he marry me for real?" Violet asked. "It's only a play."
"The only legal requirements of marriage in this community," Klaus explained, holding up nuptial law to show his sister where he'd learned the information, "are your saying, 'I do,' and signing a document in your own hand in the presence of a judge like Justice Strauss."
"But surely I'm not old enough to get married," Violet said. "I'm only 14.
"Girls under the age of 18," Klaus said, flipping to another part of the book, "can marry if they have the permission of their legal guardian. That's Count Olaf."
"How now?" Violet cried. "What can we do?"
"We can show this to Mr. Poe," Klaus said, pointing to the book, "and he will finally believe us that Count Olaf is up to no good. Quick, get dressed while I wake up Sunny, and we can be at the bank by the time it opens."
Violet, who usually moved slowly in the mornings, nodded, and immediately got out of bed and went to the cardboard box to find some proper clothing. Klaus walked over to the lump of curtains to wake up his younger sister.
"Sunny,"
he called out kindly, putting his hand on where he thought his sister's head was.
"Sunny."
There was no answer. Klaus called out, "Sunny," again, and pulled away the top fold of the curtains to wake up the youngest Baudelaire child.
"Sunny,"
he said. But then he stopped. For underneath the curtain was nothing but another curtain. He moved aside all the layers, but his little sister was nowhere to be found.
"Sunny!"
he yelled, looking around the room. Violet dropped the dress she was holding and began to help him search. They looked in every corner, under the bed and even inside the cardboard box, but Sunny was gone.
"Where can she be?" Violet asked worriedly. "She's not the type to run off."
"Where can she be, indeed?" said a voice behind them,
and the two children turned around. Count Olaf was standing in the doorway, watching Violet and Klaus as they searched the room. His eyes were shining brighter than they ever had, and he was still smiling, like he'd just uttered a joke.